Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we just read of the Queen of Sheba, which is present-day Arabia, who had heard of the fame and glory of King Solomon and of all the wisdom that God had imparted to him. There were others of her kingdom who had seen this fame and glory and had heard his wisdom. And when they returned to her land, they tried to give her some idea of it, but she did not believe them. Though they spoke vividly and strongly all about Solomon, she could not find in her to believe it. She determined that she would go and see for herself. As she came before Solomon, she listened to all the wisdom that God had imparted to him for the sake of Israel. And Solomon told her all that was in her heart and answered all of her questions. She beheld the earthly splendor of King Solomon and all of his wealth and glory and apparel, until at last we read that there was no spirit anymore to be found in her. She was, as we would say, dumbfounded. And she exclaimed, "The half was not told to me." So, in the perfect and much higher sense, will we say concerning heaven, "The half was not told me, for it hath not entered into the heart of man to conceive," says the scripture, "the glories that are to be found at last in Jesus Christ our Lord." What is heaven? What will heaven be like? What are we going to do there? What will it actually be like to stand before the presence of our God and to have him impart unto us his perfect wisdom and to know him as we are known and see his glory and as he works his wondrous love perfectly in our hearts? What will that be like? Beloved, live a holy and faithful life in Jesus Christ. By grace, repent and believe in Jesus Christ and go and see for yourself. Heaven is beyond our ability to comprehend. Heaven is exalted in glory. Everything in heaven radiates with the holiness and glory of God. There's no sin there. There's no sorrow there. There's everlasting praise and everlasting joy. And all those who belong tonight to Jesus Christ know assuredly that we shall be there and we shall praise and glorify God therein forever and ever. When we come before the biblical truth of heaven, then we are confronted tonight with the truth. Each one of us is confronted with the truth of the reality of this present life. Take away the truth of heaven from your faith, and you have just lost any understanding of the reality of this present life. For in the light of the truth of heaven, we understand that this present life is, by God's very intention, preparatory for the eternal life or for the eternal death that is to come. Heaven declares to us the truth that death, which is certain, is not the end. That there is heaven or there is hell for every man, for every woman, for every child, and for every boy and girl, for young people. That we must and will either go by grace, through faith, to be with Christ in heaven, or a soul will go to eternal hell. For the Bible declares to us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, that at the moment of death, the body returns to the dust from whence the Lord God has taken it, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. This life is temporary. This life is preparatory. We ought to remember that more than we do. We ought to remember that with respect to the trials and difficulties of this life, that they are necessary because this life is preparatory for the life that is to come. We look perhaps at our children who are given physical problems, and we have anxiety perhaps for their social life and their life in the church. And we say, what will happen? What will come of them in terms of this life? And God reminds us that He's a wise Father who's preparing in terms of that life which is to come. And He orders everything in the life of His young people and in the life of each child here, that He might prepare them for their place in heaven. And we must be reminded tonight, as people of God, that there are no in-betweens. There are no exceptions. We ought to be reminded of, in the light of the truth of heaven, that the soul that God has given, the Bible makes very plain, must exist, and must exist either in eternal light, in glory, or in the lake of punishment. I think that also is a very practical truth to remember, that our souls in death must continue to be. That certainly points out to us as young people the sin and the selfishness of what the world calls casual sex, and of taking that bond of sexual union that God has created for marriage, which is in that conception, the creation, the beginning of a soul. That's a blessed thing given to marriage, but that's not something to be brought into the service of sin. That's a conception of a soul. And that soul must exist. Must exist either to the light of God's grace in heaven or to the testimony of His justice in hell. That's an awesome thing, the beginning of a soul. And we must know tonight to which we are going. And we must be assured, as children of God, that heaven is entirely of grace to those who by grace love God, believe in Jesus Christ, repent of their sin, confess Jesus Christ, God's Son, as the Savior. So let's spend a few moments tonight going from different passages of Scripture together and setting our heart on high to our certain hope of eternal heaven and glory. Our theme will be heaven. I'd like to point out to you from the Scriptures that heaven, first of all, as to what it is God's dwelling place with His people. Number two, that heaven will therefore be our place of everlasting rest. And then finally, that heaven is for us now our certain hope. Heaven is the dwelling place of God with His saints. It's a spiritual realm where the saints of God now enjoy perfect fellowship with the everlasting God. Heaven is a creation. Heaven is not eternal. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, whether you want to interpret that word heavens there as the physical heavens or as the spiritual realm, nevertheless, it is a biblical truth. It comes from necessary biblical consequence that heaven is not eternal, but heaven is the place that God created in the beginning. Angels are not eternal. Angels were created sometime in the creation week. And heaven was created by God in service of his covenant, in service of his fellowship, of his purpose, to have fellowship with his saints in Christ. That first of all. If we were to ask the question, and sometimes we conceive of before time began and before the creation, we conceive of God in heaven. But the Bible says to us, rather, Isaiah 57 verse 15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." God for himself does not need a dwelling place. God eternally existed as God of himself and for himself as the blessed and glorious God to whom nothing needed be added and who required nothing outside of himself. For our God is life in himself and nothing can be added. For God, heaven is himself. But heaven is that which is created to serve the purpose of God's covenant, to serve his eternal purpose, whereby he said from eternity, I'm going to reveal that which I am, and I'm going to show that which I am out of my own love, and I'm going to create a church to be with me in heaven. And so he created heaven for the purpose of fellowship, the place of fellowship with his saved creation and with the angels. That first, heaven is created. It's created now in that place which is where the saints go in death. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ returns, there shall be, 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 through 14, a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness shall dwell. As we read in Revelation chapter 21, the new Jerusalem, the new heaven will be prepared of God, and then the saints shall live there with glorified bodies in the new Jerusalem. There will no longer be the distinction that is now between the realm of heaven, the spiritual, and the realm of the earthly, but all shall be one in the new heavens and the new earth. Now that heaven that now is, says the Apostle Peter, the heaven that now is, that heaven to which we go now in our death, what is that? And the Bible tells us that this is a spiritual realm. It is different from the physical realm that God made and placed Adam on and in which we live now under the curse of sin. This is the physical realm which we know, for we are created out of the dust of the earth. This is what we know. We are of the earth, earthy, said John the Baptist in John chapter 3. We see and we touch and we smell and we hear. But the realm of heaven is spiritual. It's heavenly. It's a realm that our eyes can't see. We, according to 1 Corinthians 15, are now corruptible. We must become incorruptible. We can't see it. We can't feel it. We can't hear it. We can't smell it or taste it. It's a realm of the spiritual with God. It's a real realm. It's as real as the earthly. But we must be changed. The Apostle Paul told the Greek philosophers in Acts chapter 17, verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. The Greek philosophers and the ancients, the idolaters and the Egyptians, would all make houses of stone. This is the apostle's point. They would make houses of stone or wood for their gods. Pyramids or the Parthenon. They would make them a house and they would bring them fruit and meat to eat. and they would provide them with swords and shields and canoes, because they conceived of the spiritual realm as the earthly realm. But the apostle says that's all wrong. The place that God has created called heaven, where angels live, is a glorious spiritual realm. And the difference between the spiritual and the earthly is that in terms of glory, heaven is exalted. It is raised in glory and in honor. It's lifted up in holiness. There is no sin there. There is no defilement. There is perfect understanding of God there. It's a realm of perfection. We read in Isaiah 63, "Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory." Heaven is that realm of spiritual perfection, everything radiating the holiness and the glory and the knowledge of God. It's a pure and it's a glorious place, is heaven. A place that is fellowship with God. That's what it is. We can't describe heaven in terms of the earthly. We can't, says the apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right now with our minds conceive of the glory that is laid up for us in heaven. The Bible rather directs us to the essence of heaven and says to us that heaven is God's dwelling place with his saints, that the essence of heaven, therefore, consists of perfect fellowship with God, of perfect love for God. We were created in Adam for God. We were redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ for God. Life is to be lived with God. And heaven is the perfection of that fellowship with God. And so repeatedly throughout all of the scripture tells us that heaven is the place where God's presence is perfectly and fully revealed. It's called God's habitation, God's dwelling. Your habitation, your dwelling, is not simply the place where you are or where you live, but where your love and where your fellowship is to be experienced. We know that. We know that in the earthly way, that you can have a beautiful home, of course. You can put up the modern, beautiful home. But if there's no love there, if Jesus Christ isn't there, if repentance and humble hearts aren't there, it's not a dwelling. It can become for us, and it can become for children then, apart from repentance and apart from humility of heart and daily repentance in Christ and the love of Christ. If that's not there in a home, then that home for a child can become a hell. And so in the perfect place, that this is God's dwelling, means that this is the place where the love and the grace of God is to be experienced. That's what makes heaven heaven. What makes heaven heaven is God and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what makes heaven heaven. The Bible tells us, especially in Revelation chapter 21, it tries to give us a picture of it. It tells us in terms of the earthly that there is a throne there. And so we read of the picture of that in Solomon, and of that great throne that he made, and of the beautiful garments that his servants wore, and of all the excellencies, and that silver was not reputed of, and everything was of gold. And the Bible tells us in Revelation 21 that there's gates and there's streets of gold and there's perfect light. But all of that really is not the important thing about heaven. That's all the incidentals. And the tree of life and the river of life, that's all incidental. Just like the home is really an incidental. Heaven is fellowship with God in perfection. We shall see Him as He is. Psalm 17, verse 15, when I awake in righteousness, I shall be satisfied, for I shall see thee as thou art. The parable or the beatitude of our Lord, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, now we see in part, but then shall we know perfectly. Now we shall see, says the apostle, face to face, and we will know God even as we are known. We shall understand perfectly the love of God for us. We shall behold the wisdom of God over us. We shall be drawn close to the eternal and the blessed God. And tears will come to our eyes, tears of joy, when we understand our own utter unworthiness and the great worthiness of the love of God in Jesus Christ. And therefore heaven is going to be full of the light of God, and God's grace is going to dawn upon our soul, and we will sing, my God, how wonderful thou art, thy majesty how bright, how beautiful thy mercy seat in depths of burning light. Heaven is the place of fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the only way there, through Jesus Christ alone. And that certainly means to us tonight that if we do not love God now, and in principle in our hearts do not thrill to walk with Him, that heaven cannot mean anything to us. For those whose hearts are not changed, heaven holds no attraction. One of the most sobering thoughts to me in the Bible is this, Revelation chapter 16. You may read it for yourself. It's part of the outpouring of God's judgments, and it speaks of those who receive those judgments even in the pit of hell. And in the pit of hell, the book of Revelation says, they repent not to give God the glory. That is, they wouldn't go to heaven even then, because they don't want the fellowship of God. Heaven would be torment to them.